The Holy Gospel for this morning is the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning at verse 41. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading of the gospel. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Emmanuel. There once was a man who called the church office and asked to speak with the head hog at the trough. And the secretary who had answered the phone call said, "Well, if you're referring to the pastor, you're going to have to show more respect and call him the reverend or pastor, but not head hog at the trough." And the man said, "Well, I apologize. I just was wanting to hand over to him a check for $68,000 to pay off the church extension fund loan that you have." And she said, "Oh, wait just a minute. I think the big pig just walked in." Things change when money is involved. Things change when money is involved. And Jesus sat looking all day there at the temple court by where the treasury was, and as the rich people with pomp and ceremony would come in and put all their money into the, and clink and clink and clink, a big show of it all. And then a very poor widow came. And she only had two tiny coins, mites, worth only a fraction of a penny, all that she had to live on. And she put those into the treasury. Hardly any noise at all. She put into the treasury coffers. And then he summoned the disciples together, and he said this. He said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others, because they gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." And so this becomes the story of the widow's mite. And from that story, I think we can extract some very important lessons told by Jesus for this, our stewardship emphasis Sunday here at Emmanuel. And the first one is this: godly giving is based on faith, not finances. A lot of us think that the more you make, the more discretionary dollars we ought to have, and the higher the percentage we would give to the Lord. Our thinking goes something like this: well, if we get that raise and if we get another job, we'd be able to give, instead of this percent, we'll be able to give this percent to the Lord, except it doesn't work that way. Just the reverse happens. Those who give the highest percent to the Lord at Emmanuel, now pay attention to this, are those who are on fixed incomes here. The widows, God bless you. You put the rest of us to shame. Matter of fact, I was talking to a Christian financial counselor some time back, and he made the statement that if we could reduce all the income of the congregation to a welfare income and they would tithe on that, we would double our receipts. Imagine. Imagine that. Because what we give is based on faith, not on finances. God has set a different standard for us than how much we make. The standard of giving is how much faith do we have? So the question this morning is going to be, how much faith do you and I actually have? We can look at compartments of our life like they do, like to do in Newhart, and we can say, well, in this area I have a lot of faith, this area a lot of faith, but when it comes to my pocketbook, when it comes to my purse, then there's a tight grip on it, and don't let that offering plate get too close. Because somehow our faith walk can turn into a fear freeze because of the unknowns that come into our lives. We have our health reversals. We have our business uncertainties. We have so many different things that tell us we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The best thing we can do is to just build bigger barns and store more for ourselves for the rainy day that's sure to come, so that we can make sure we have enough to live on. And we do it as an individual, and we tend to do it as a church. As though God doesn't own all the money already. He can give us everything he deigns to give us based on our faith. Faith freeze paralyzes. Faith freeze will cause a church or an individual into inaction. Instead of moving out in faith according to what might be God's preferred future for our next chapter of our lives, we don't. We stay back and we fossilize because what might happen if? What might happen if? Meantime, the poor widows are giving liberally of all they have, and God is caring for them, and they're blessed beyond all others. We forget that everything we have is a loan to us from a loving God. Think about it. There isn't anything we have, whether it be health or the money in our bank account or a relationship, a husband, wife, a child, a grandchild, that can't be taken away in a second or less. Everything is on loan to us. And God is simply testing us and saying, how are you going to manage it? How are you going to manage what I've given you? Are you going to hoard it? Are you going to be stingy with it? Are you going to put it in the ground because you know I'm a master and you don't risk want to take any risks? Or will you invest and will you go out in faith? As we increase our faith, as we allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to energize us as a church and as individuals, we will be liberal in our giving, first fruit in our giving, proportionate in our giving, cheerful in our giving, because little faith yields little gifts. But large faith allows God to give us even more, overflowing. And that's what he wills to give each of us. He wants us to see that godly giving is based on faith, not on finances. Second thing is that godly giving is based on sacrifice, not on size. There once was this guy who went to the mall over to Sears. And it happened to be that he took his two children along. He took Helen, age 8, and Brandon, age 5. And there was a petting zoo outside the mall. And they had this enclosure and they had a number of different animals at the petting zoo. And Brandon and Helen said, Dad, can we go to the petting zoo? Can we go to the petting zoo, please? And Dad says, sure, I'm going into Sears. I'm going to go buy a handsaw. I'll go do that real quick, and you play in the petting zoo. And he gave them each a quarter. So as he's walking into Sears, he notices behind him, there's Helen following him into Sears. And he thought, I don't think she really likes the hardware department that much. I think she would prefer the petting zoo. Why is she following me? And so he asked her, why are you following me? And with her liquid brown eyes, she looks up at him sadly and said, the petting zoo cost 50 cents, and so I gave Brandon my quarter. And so the dad, you know what he did? He took his little girl, Helen, and they went out to the fence outside the petting zoo. And there they were, both of them watching Brandon, having the time of his life with all those fluffy little animals playing around. And there was Helen watching, and there was the father watching. And you might think at this point that the father ought to have a hole burning into his pocket with the two quarters that remained in his pocket to give to Helen. But that's not how that family operated. Rather, he didn't give two quarters to Helen. And Helen didn't ask his dad for two quarters. She found joy in seeing all the fun her brother was having there in the petting zoo. That family had learned something very important, that love always costs something. Love always gives something. Love never grabs anything. Helen gave her quarter as a sacrifice of love. It's a simple story, but it's a story reminiscent of the widow that Jesus saw, who gave everything in a sacrifice of love to her Lord and Master. A leading charity used to say, give till it hurts. Ever hear that? Give till it hurts. Then they changed it. And now they say, give till it helps. Give till it helps. Because when you give Christ's love out to someone, it never hurts, but it sure helps. The wealthy people were coming, Jesus said. They gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. God doesn't measure the size of our gift. He measures the size of our sacrifice. And then the last thing to be said this morning is that oftentimes less is more. Jesus used the widow's small gift to instruct his disciples that less can sometimes turn out to be great. What can a widow's mite do? Well, maybe all you need to do here is to ask the women of grace. What does a penny or two put into a little container over a period of time do? Well, I'll tell you what it's done. It has started missions. It has allowed the gospel of Jesus Christ to go to many nations. It has changed lives. It has changed hearts. Because when God takes a small coin, he can take a coin, he can take a word, he can take a fish and feed a multitude. Less can be more when God's miracle comes into that coin and multiplies it so it can serve his kingdom work. It's not easy for our widows. It's not easy to live on a fixed income. Some are living a meager existence. But some in our church know full well what that's like when they look back at the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. You remember that widow back there? She had hardly anything left. There was a famine in the land. She went out to collect sticks to start a fire for herself and her son to make their final meal, consisting of some oil and some flour. And then that's all she had left. And then they were going to die. And it was that exact moment that the prophet Elijah came into their home. And the prophet Elijah says, do you mind if I come into your home and will you share your meal with me? The last meal. And what could they have said? Well, I don't have enough. Sorry. She welcomed him into their home And as a result, that little was enough to last throughout the time of famine. Every day, God replenished the oil. Every day, God replenished the flour. And it was always sufficient unto the day, enough for them to live that day. It's no different with Emmanuel. 11 years ago, I came here. And I met with Jim and I met with Dan. And they talked about the different scenarios. And they said, we don't have enough money here to support a full-time pastor. At district scale, nonetheless. I said, it doesn't matter. God will provide. You're singing it. When there is no way, God will make a way. You were singing it. You had faith in those days. You believed that there was a better world to come at Emmanuel than then. And you were willing to risk, you were willing to dare, you were willing to go out, and so was I, because we knew we had a great God where less is more. And in these 11 years, you tell me, have we ever missed a paycheck? Have we ever missed a payment? Have we ever lacked for anything in the world? Hasn't God given us everything and every kind of resource to do all that we can do for Him? O ye of little faith, less is more. This is the same God who will be in our voters' meeting. This is the same God who is going to be in 2020 and the new chapter that's yet to come. And my prayer and your prayer is, let us be like the widow and have faith. God's Spirit is moving again at Emmanuel. And He doesn't come all the time with the lightning and the earthquake, but often He comes with the still small voice. That still small voice who came and manifested Himself in the person of Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us, who presides over our church and rules over our hearts and changes everything. It is He who came into this world as a humble man, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. For many, He was too small to be God. For others, He was too weak to be Lord. For a whole lot of people, He was too meek to overcome sin and death. But for those with faith, He has become the miracle of God, who has forever changed life. He has overthrown death and vanquished Satan. He has given us hope and offered us heaven. And He now wills to open up the treasures of heaven to all of us of faith who see less is more and are willing to give their all to Him that He might give more for us to manage. So what do we see this morning? Do we see two small coins worth less than a penny and maybe not even worth a sermon? Or do we see something in ourselves this morning that's being changed by God, entrusted with treasure? Let faith rule your hearts. Let sacrifice be your lifestyle. And watch the blessings of God continue to be multiplied in your life. Please rise in prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord. I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I'll be ever only all for Thee. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the response we give in faith to Your wonderful grace come into our life again. Thank You for the memories we have of all the footsteps we've taken in life where You've been there at times when we didn't know how we would go on. And yet you were there, the one set of footprints in the sand. Thank you for our military and those who have served in the armed forces and who have helped keep this country safe and given us the freedom to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for our new members and the new chapter, their spiritual journey here at Emmanuel, that you might continue to bless them. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would pour out itself liberally upon all those at our voters' meeting this morning, that we might see not only dollars and cents, but we might see your preferred future and the vision you have for where we might go in ministry, in faith. Bless all of our requests before you. Especially do we bring before you those who are hurting and those who are ill. We name before you in our hearts. In their life situation, be a solace and comfort to them. Allow them to see that you serve them and that they have a useful purpose in life, in that of prayer and supplication for the church, until that day when you call them and us home again. Amen.